JC Corcoran Podcast.
Along with everybody.
Donald Trump attacked General Motors this morning.
Trump attacking John Lewis on Twitter.
Donald Trump attacking BuzzFeed.
Trump attacked the press.
This Schwarzenegger tweet, is this really from Donald Trump 28 seconds ago?
Donald Trump is taunting Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Trump this morning going after Meryl Streep.
President Trump attacked Nordstrom.
President Trump attacked the judiciary.
Why is the president picking a fight with Australia?
He attacked the press.
He's attacking the FBI.
Attacking the Freedom Caucus.
Attacking President Obama.
The president picking a fight with Canada.
Trump attacked Blumenthal's military record.
The president also attacked CNN anchors.
He seems to be attacking the Justice Department.
Attacking Comey.
Attacking one Elizabeth Warren.
Why is he picking a fight with London's mayor right after a terror attack?
The president attacking Rod Rosenstein.
The president on Twitter has attacked CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, The New York Times, and The Washington Post.
President Trump picking a fight with Jeff Sessions.
He attacked cable host Mika Brzezinski.
Attacking Hillary Clinton.
President Trump has been accused of inciting attacks against journalists.
President Trump attacking Amazon this morning.
Donald Trump attacked Arizona Senator John McCain last night in Arizona.
President also attacking Senator Jeff Flake.
President Trump personally attacked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
It's basically like picking a fight with the bouncer when you're trying to get into the club. You start that kind of beef, you're probably not getting into the club.
President Trump is attacking the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico.
President Trump attacked the NFL protest.
Attacking Steph Curry this morning.
President Trump has attacked Rex Tillerson.
President Trump attacked the Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson.
The good news from today may have been that the president did not attack a Gold Star widow. He did attack a fellow Republican and the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker of Tennessee.
Meanwhile, President Trump back on Twitter this morning and on the attack.
Attacking Theresa May.
Attacking CNN International.
Attacked Senator Schumer and Congressman Pelosi.
He's really picked a fight with LeVar Ball.
I get along with everybody, remember?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Opening day is tomorrow. And for, about 37 years, I've been doing this opening day special. And ours will air tomorrow, or air, or take up space on the internet, whatever you refer to when you're doing a podcast. But anyhow, it's tomorrow. Now, as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast a long time, the original post time was 7 a.m. That's because I wanted the podcast to be sort of a substitute for a morning radio show in a half an hour. You can get everything you need to know, plus some stupid comments from me, and you get all that stuff in a nice 30-minute package. You can listen on the way to work or get ready for work or school or whatever it is. So that was the idea, 7 a.m. Well, then, excuse me, it was turning out that we were very, very close. I thought we were close about a month ago. We're a couple of days away now. But going to be starting a new morning radio show in St. Louis in a couple of days. And you don't want to go up against yourself. That doesn't make any sense. So we moved the post time of the podcast to 11 a.m., which is where we always post it, 11 a.m. every day. Except that tomorrow, this gets really confusing, except that tomorrow, because it's the home opener, we'll go back to the 7 a.m. post time. So you'll be able to pick that up bright and early. Then we go back to the regular post time of 11 a.m. on Friday. And somewhere along in there, there's going to actually be a new radio show too. But we'll deal with that when we get to it. All right, where do we start today? Opening day tomorrow. Already mentioned that, of course. 67 degrees for game time tomorrow afternoon, 3:10. And it's a good thing things are working out the way they are, because Friday is going to be a mess. And I hate to say this, but it's reminding me of what happened, 2 years ago when the tornadoes came in on Friday night and pretty much destroyed the Amazon warehouse in Metro East. This is eerily similar. And, you know, it's sort of like if you watched War Games 35 years ago with Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy. You got DEFCON 1, DEFCON, it goes all the way up to DEFCON 5. Well, you have a similar thing with the National Weather Service. 1 means that, there could be some severe weather, but don't worry about it too much. We're just letting you know that the conditions are right for, you know, maybe something you have to watch out for. And then it goes all the way up to 5, which is sell your house and move, get the fuck out before this thing hits tomorrow. Well, they just elevated this thing tomorrow to a level 3, which is a pretty big deal. The majority of the day should be nice. You know, it's going to be really interesting the way this works out, because you have a beautiful day for the home opener tomorrow and no game on Friday. And the majority of the day on Friday is going to be actually pretty nice. But then you start getting to like 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and especially down around 6 o'clock, there's going to be a couple of lines of storms that are going to go through. And the way they're projecting this thing, this definitely will get your attention. So that's going to be Friday evening. And then that all clears out. And while it might be a little chilly on Saturday, it's still going to be sunny with temperatures in the mid-50s. And then right back up near 70 degrees for the game on Sunday. And then the Cardinals hit the road, but we could be pushing 80 degrees for a couple of days next week. Not going to stay 80 degrees very long, but for a couple of those days there could be 80 degrees for the high temperature. All right. I have to confess, most of the time under normal circumstances, I would have been very excited to hear that Eric Clapton was coming into town for a concert. And I'm just not anymore. You know, if you've been following some of the stuff that he said and he's done, and then some other things that were uncovered from things that he had said and done years ago, you start to see a picture of a really unpleasant guy. And part of his unpleasantness, and the thing that I'm reacting to, is the racism. He's apparently not a very, very progressive thinker when it comes to race relations on this planet. And it's sort of ruined the whole thing for me. I would have been very excited to be able to sit here and talk about how great it is that Eric Clapton's coming in. And instead, it's like, yeah, well, I don't think so. Not anymore. I don't know if we're ever going to find out what happened between Daryl Hannah and Jackson Browne, but all I know is there were times when I would sit and listen to Jackson Browne, particularly when I was a much younger man, and just think to myself, this is just fantastic. You know, when you're listening to a song and you think to yourself, how did this guy crawl inside my brain and know what I was thinking on a couple of things? It was just remarkable. And that was sort of like my go-to music. I was always playing Jackson Browne. And then, I don't know, something happened between him and Daryl Hannah. But somehow she ended up with a black eye out of the deal, and he was the only guy around her, so something happened between those two. And then also I met Jackson Browne twice. Once, I've told the story before, that was that thing in Chicago where he made me sit there for 6 hours before he finally gave me the interview. And at one point when they took us out for the sound check to be able to get some video of them doing their sound check, and there was a really stupid misunderstanding that he was responsible for, but he took it out on us. He just seemed like a really, really unpleasant guy. When we finally got to the interview itself, it was good. It was okay. You know, he's one of those guys, you got to measure every single word you say to him, because if you say the wrong thing, he's going to take your fucking head off. That's just the way he is. And then the other time I met him was backstage after a concert at the Fox Theater in, I want to say, probably 88. And if you've heard the story before, please indulge me here for the moment for the people who have not heard it. But he had a road manager, who also, I guess, served as his bodyguard. And his name was Buddha. And he gave me his business card, which I still have. And it says Buddha. So Jackson Browne and Buddha are standing there. And I'm talking to both of them. I had talked to Buddha before, so he knew who I was. And we're all sitting there. And I just said to him, I gave him a really, really, I thought, heartfelt, and very serious compliment about the song In the Shape of a Heart. And Buddha looked at Jackson Browne. Jackson Browne looked at Buddha. And they both turned and they walked away. And to this day, I have no idea what the hell it was that I said that set those two off. I have no idea, and I'm tired of thinking about it. That happened to me and the U-Man at spring training one year. We're down there at Jupiter, and Bruce Hornsby, because Tony La Russa had all these friends in the entertainment business, and Bruce Hornsby shows up, and he's sort of wandering around. And we didn't, jump on him or anything. You know, we let him see us. He saw what we were doing, and we're getting interviews with people. And I think it was John who approached him and said, you know, would you be interested, you know, do a little short interview with us? And, okay. So we're standing there. We're having a nice conversation. He's another one that's wound really, really tight, and you got to be really careful what you say to him. And we're having a nice conversation. We had a couple of laughs, you know. Everything was just sort of going along swimmingly. And John, I think at the end of the conversation, says, "By the way, what's the latest on the range?" Because it used to be Bruce Hornsby in the range, and he didn't mean anything. Well, what could it have meant? We were asking, what happened to the range? Is the range still around? Are you performing solo? Whatever. And he just gave us this disgusting look like, "Oh, guys, come on." And he's like, "That's it. Interview is over." And we're like, look at each other, what did we say? What the hell did we say? Oh, and the other one was Hootie and the Blowfish. That guy, that tall guy with the really curly hair who's in the band. That's another bunch of guys that made us wait for 3 hours. And when we thought we were having the opportunity, that big, tall, blonde guy with the curly hair looked right at me and said, "You're not talking to anybody." And we're like, "What the hell? What's your deal?" So everybody thinks it's just a walk in the park interviewing celebrities and how much fun that must be. I mean, it is fun, but you got it's not perfect. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think I finally have this school shooting thing figured out. You know, it was a congresswoman from, I want to say, Wyoming yesterday, and they interviewed her, and she's like, "Legislation doesn't fix everything that's wrong with the world. There's nothing we can do." And she walks away. It's like United States congressman basically saying, "Yeah, we're powerless. We could make some laws or enforce some laws or just do something so that mentally unstable adolescents or young adults don't get their hands on assault rifles. Seems like a slam dunk, but no, there's nothing we can do." And I hate to say it this way, but I think I'm right. It's going to take a school shooting where a congressman or congresswoman's grandson or granddaughter is murdered in a school shooting before anybody does anything. It's going to have to hit them where they live. You know, our lives mean nothing, but if it happens to one of their families, watch what happens. Then everybody's going to rally around. That's going to be the only thing that's going to get any laws changed around here. I spent about a half an hour on the phone with Skip Weber yesterday from Weber Chevrolet, and I think pretty much everybody knows what happened. Their house burned to the ground just a couple of weeks ago, and they're still, they're still in shock, as you might expect. Now, large parts of the conversation I'm just not at liberty to discuss with you because it's just private information, and Skip and I have been friends for a while now, and, he understands that I have this whole, batch of listeners who want to know what happened. I mean, I wanted to know what happened. Of course, it's just human nature. Like, well, how did it happen? What, tell us about it. And, Skip's made a couple of appearances on radio stations and stuff like that to talk about it. But yesterday he went into detail with me and we know a little bit more about what happened. And I thought I had it bad back in the 90s when I had cable TV in Ladue when I was living there. And I was getting double images on my television because squirrels apparently had chewed through the insulation of the wiring. And so the signal was picking itself up on the cable and I was getting two images on my picture. Well, just keep that story in the back of your head because, like I said, I thought I had it bad. But you could have knocked me over with a feather yesterday when I'm talking to Skip, and he goes, "Well, we know now that the fire started from outside the house." And I thought to myself, the first thing I thought of was, "Are you telling me it was fucking arson?" He's like, no. And here's what happened. they had just installed a new security system, one of those things where everything goes straight to your phone. So if there's a glass break or a door ajar or, you know, just something that the system picks up that is abnormal, it goes right to your phone, and you have your phone laying next to your bed. So that's, you know, that's how you find out that somebody's trying to break into your house or something like that. So they had just had that system was put in January, and I'll be damned if at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone starts going off saying basically there's a fire alarm. And he's told this story before now. They both pop up and they try to get out of the house. They couldn't get to their dogs. It was like either save our own lives or perhaps lose our lives trying to get out of our dogs. And it was so sad that they lost the dogs in the process. And they were very young. I think they were only, 2 years old or something. It's just a shame. But they get out of the house. And over there in Columbia, Illinois, the fire department shows up almost immediately. But if you've seen the pictures and the videos, it's unbelievable. And that was a big, big house, a really huge, basically a compound. And it's just huge, but there was no loss of human life. And at least we have that. The demolition of the property begins today, as a matter of fact, and they're going to knock pretty much the whole thing down. Then they have to see if the integrity of the structure, and in this case, we're talking about the slab, you know, and the foundation and everything like that. Fires get pretty hot, and so they have to make sure that that hasn't suffered at all. And then they're going to rebuild. Well, right now, they've got drones flying around the property because you can't walk on it. So, you know, you walk on the wrong thing. You go crashing right through into a pile of rubble. You get yourself killed. And in fact, there have been moments of joy in this whole thing. Skip was telling me about a couple of watches that were presented to his father back in something like 1979 or something, when they got an award for being one of the most successful Chevrolet dealers in the entire country. And they gave him these two, I guess they were Rolexes or something, and they had special inscription. You can't replace something like that. Well, fire department and the people going through the rubble found the two watches, and they were completely intact. Barely anything wrong with them. Get them cleaned up, and they'll still, you know, because right now, you know, think about your house burning to the ground. They lost pretty much every artifact, every memento, every sort of, you know, family heirloom type thing. I don't care if it's a, you know, an Afghan that somebody's aunt made in the family and get presented to them, to all of their wedding gifts, all their memorabilia, everything. I mean, when you think about it, it's just incredible. We were talking about the fact that the safe, I guess the safe was up on one of the other higher floors, and at some point just basically crashed through the structure and into the rubble, and they did find the safe, which is good because that's why you get a safe. You have all your important papers and your passports and things like that, and apparently all of that stuff was preserved. So now back to the fire itself coming from the outside and my squirrel story in cable TV. Right now, from what they're able to determine, there's a hot tub out on the property just to the one side of the house. And they had in the past a problem with raccoons and other vermin getting in underneath this canvas thing that they had, which is where the hot tub was. And then they take that whole thing down for the summer. But during the winter, it's almost like a bar or restaurant, you know, where they bring down sort of like those plastic temporary walls, and that way they have a lot of that stuff in Mardi Gras, you know, so you don't freeze your ass standing there and it's 27 degrees and you're trying to enjoy a beer. So you find a bar and they lower these plastic things down, and that's what you got. So anyhow, apparently the raccoons were occasionally getting in to this false patio thing that they put up during the winter, and they had chased the raccoons out. Well, the prevailing wisdom indicates that the raccoons somehow chewed on the wiring of the hot tub electrical system, which caused a short, which caused a fire, which then, from the hot tub electrical box, spread to the house, started the fire, and that's what you got. Raccoons. And I'll tell you, when we lived in Chesterfield, we had raccoons and we had deer and we had a couple of other things sort of, you know, stomping around through our property right in our backyard. And, you know, people, oh, it's so cute. It's so lovely. Look at all the wildlife. And I was like, yeah, yeah. You know what? That wildlife will chew right through everybody. We had, when we lived in a different house in Ladue, across the street, our friends Jimmy and Christina, they had raccoons in their garage that had taken residence up in the rafters of the garage and started chewing through the drywall. And the next thing you know, you got them in the attic and they had to spend, that was some ridiculous thing, like $3,500 to get exterminators, get the fucking raccoons out of their house. You know, it's like, oh, it's so cute. They're so lovely. They're so darling. It's like, yeah, $3,500 later, but at least, you know, you can patch up the drywall and get the raccoons out. Skip and Lori sitting there going, we just lost everything. Raccoons. Raccoons. All right, the big opening day show is tomorrow. Tim McGraw, the country and western singer, is the son of Tug McGraw, who played for the Mets and the Phillies. And this guy, he was one of the last guys to actually give reporters something to use in an interview. Right now, nobody says squat. Everybody's so afraid of ending up on YouTube or having a quote misquoted and somebody gets mad and the whole thing. So nobody says anything anymore because it's just been weeded out. It's too dangerous right now. But back in the day, in the 70s and 80s, Tug McGraw was pitching. I still remember there was one particular year where he's with the Phillies. The Phillies were not expected to have a good season that year. And somebody said, you know, what do you think the chances are the Phillies making it to the World Series this year? And Tug McGraw came back when he said, I think that it's dependent upon a couple of key plane crashes. They also asked him once, what do you play better on, grass or AstroTurf? He said, I don't know. I never smoked AstroTurf. So now Tim McGraw, living in the shadow of his father, they asked him what is his go-to food at the ballpark. And guess what he said? A hot dog. He's fascinating. He's fascinating. This is a completely unsubstantiated rumor right now, but there is something going around indicating that Reese Witherspoon, who just announced that she was divorcing her husband of, was it like 14 years, 12 years, that she is dating the recently single Tom Brady. Like I said, there may be nothing to that. I'm just telling you what's going around right now. Why the hell was Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath at a Taylor Swift show in Las Vegas? Now, Geezer, I don't know if he still lives in St. Louis, but I know he did for a while back in the 80s. But anyhow, he's got grandkids. He's got grandkids, and the grandkids wanted to see Taylor Swift. Okay, I'll take you. The 26th season finale of South Park tonight, 9 o'clock on Comedy Central. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Kevin Bacon and Jay Farrow. He's the guy that does the impressions. Pretty good, too. Jason Bateman on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Taron Egerton. He's the guy who played Elton John in Rocket Man. Chris Pine and Hugh Grant on with James Corden and Seth Meyers as Adam Scott, Jeff Tweedy, Wilco, and Fred Armisen. Kelly Ripa says that when she joined Live, it took several years to get her own office and bathroom. Here's the quote. Had I known how difficult it would have been, I don't know that I would have gone for it. X-Files getting rebooted by Ryan Coogler, the director of Creed and the Black Panther movies. The new version is going to have a diverse cast. Keanu Reeves, I think he got $15 million for this latest John Wick movie. He only says 380 words. You could do the division, you do the mathematics, and figure it out. The boy appears to be getting paid well. All right, birthdays today. Lucy Lawless. Zena is 55. John Popper, a blues traveler, 56. Jill Goodacre, better known as Mrs. Harry Connick Jr., is 59. Elle McPherson, 59. I bumped into her at LaGuardia one year. I was walking out of one of those little newsstands, and she was walking in, but she was doing that walk where you're not looking. You're looking over your shoulder, and she just plowed right into me and then gave me a look. I'm like, hi. And she didn't say anything. She's 59 today. Amy Sedaris, 62. Brendan Gleeson from the Harry Potter movies. And, of course, in Bruges, and the Banshees of Inisherin. 68 today. Terry Jacks, didn't know he was still around. Seasons in the Sun, 79. And the great Eric Idle of Monty Python is 80 today. You wonder how things like this can happen, but it did in 1936, when on this date, 87 years ago, Adolf Hitler got 98.8% of the votes in Germany's national elections. 50 years ago today, 1973, after protesting in the song, the cover of the Rolling Stone, finally, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show made it on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Sent 5 copies to my mother. The last of the United States troops withdrew from Vietnam on this date in 1973. Tommy and Pamela Lee sued Penthouse for $10 million, asking the judge to stop the magazine from marketing the stolen video, showing them getting it on. They failed. We won. That was 27 years ago today. And on this date in 2005, Johnny Cochran died of an inoperable brain tumor. He was 67 years old. Every day I get up, I don't know, maybe hour and a half before I publish the podcast, and just do research and scour the internet and just find these goofy things that don't seem to belong anywhere. I should do my own version of Meanwhile. For example, the guy who invented the revolving door came up with it because he hated having to open doors for women. Who knew? People in Nigeria drink more Guinness in a year than people in Ireland. A new dating poll found it's a great time to be short, bald, and single. A third of people currently looking for a man said that being bald and under 5'7 would have no impact on their decision to date them. Liars. Overall, 63% of singles said personality is more important than looks. Liars. There's a new report out on the cities with the worst drivers. The worst drivers are in Jacksonville, Florida. They say the city with the best drivers, New York City. Sure it is. Sure it is. Someone conducted a poll of the best and worst baseball mascots. Number one mascot, Paws, from the Detroit Tigers. In last place was the swinging friar from the San Diego Padres. Fred Bird comes out number 11. A woman in Australia is going viral after she hollowed out a loaf of bread to sneak a bottle of wine into a concert. The venue allowed people to bring in their own food, but not alcohol. You know what I just bought? I just bought a couple of flasks. I was at Total Wine, and I bought some flasks. And you can wash them out and reuse them, and they hold, I think it's 8 ounces, and they don't set off any sort of metal detector or anything like that, because they're just basically bladders. They're just basically these the plastic type things that hold 8 ounces. You fill them up and you, I don't know, strap them to your leg or something like that, and you try to slide your way into the concert. You can't even get a decent glass of wine at a concert anyhow. A man from Missouri arrested on Saturday after violating a protection order which had been served 40 minutes prior. There's a man of action. Fox News says that an old trend of putting lip balm on your eyelids to get high is back again thanks to TikTok, but doctors are warning not to do it. Guess what? You can fuck up your eyes. And a new poll has revealed that 48% of single people have received unsolicited nude photos from a date or a match on a dating app. I was just born too soon. That's all there is. Today is National Lemon Chiffon Cake Day. You could bake one yourself, guys, but I'm sure there's an easier way to tell your parents you're gay. And a Louisiana water plant worker has been fired for peeing in the water supply. For him, on the bright side, he was immediately hired by Mountain Dew. And with that, the Jason Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, March 29, 2003 is in the can. Opening day is tomorrow, and our opening day special happens. We publish at 7 a.m. Keep your eyes on this weather forecast for Friday. It's not looking very good right now. Looking very, very dangerous. They have some sort of plan in place, and you might have to adjust those plans to accommodate, especially late in the afternoon and into the evening. Friday, we're at a level 3 risk, which is sort of a big deal. So just have that in the back of your head, okay? All right, so the opening day special tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.